Chris Poyer.
This is from Eggs by Jerry Spinelli. I don't even like eggs, David said.
It's not just the eggs, said his grandmother.
So what is it?
He no longer bothered to trim the surliness from his voice when speaking to her. She thought for a moment.
Well, the activity.
Participating. Her fists gripped the steering wheel. Her face was locked straight ahead. She was a rotten and terrified driver.
Making friends.
Make friends. Make friends. Same old garbage.
I don't want to make friends. Everybody needs friends.
Not me.
We all do, David. We're all human.
I'm not.
No?
No.
What might you be then?
A moose. He knew she wanted to give him a look, but she dared not take her eyes from the road. She settled for a sigh and a purse of the lips.
Now you're just being silly.
He let it hang there. Silly. He said nothing. Unreplied to, the word would get bigger and bigger, filling the car, suffocating her, forcing her to open her mouth and take it back. Swallow it. That would be her punishment. Maybe then she would turn around, take him home, let the Easter egg hunt go on without him. It wasn't even her idea anyway. It was his dad's. They could tell him the hunt was called off, or they got there too late. She opened the window on her side. She said, "Would you like your window open?" He did not answer.
"David?"
"No."
"Want the radio on?"
"Question time. Try to get him to say yes."
"No." "Are you ever going to smile again?"
"No."
"Are you a boy?"
"No."
"Drat.
Tricked." Didn't she know that tricks only made him hate her more? Wasn't the trick his mother had played on him enough? More than enough? Did the world have to go on playing tricks on him?
This is from The Velveteen Rabbit by Marjorie Williams.
They stared at him, and the little rabbit stared back, and all the time their noses twitched.
"Why don't you get up and play with us?"
one of them asked.
"I don't feel like it," said the rabbit, for he didn't want to explain that he had no clockwork.
"Oh," said the furry rabbit. "It's as easy as anything."
And he gave a big hop sideways and stood on his hind legs.
"I don't believe you can," he said.
"I can," said the little rabbit. "I can jump higher than anything."
He meant when the boy threw him, but of course he didn't want to say so.
"Can you hop on your hind legs?"
asked the furry rabbit.
That was a dreadful question, for the Velveteen Rabbit had no hind legs at all. The back of him was made all in one piece, like a pincushion. He sat still in the bracken and hoped the other rabbits wouldn't notice.
"I don't want to,"
he said again, but the wild rabbits have very sharp eyes, and this one stretched out his neck and looked.
"He isn't got any hind legs," he called out. "Fancy a rabbit without any hind legs."
And he began to laugh.
"I have," cried the little rabbit. "I have got hind legs. I'm sitting on them."
"Then stretch them out and show me, like this,"
said the wild rabbit. And he began to whirl round and dance till the little rabbit got quite dizzy.
"I don't like dancing," he said. "I'd rather sit still."
But all the while he was longing to dance, for a funny new tickly feeling ran through him, and he felt he would give anything in the world to be able to jump about like these rabbits did.
This is from Street Food and Love by H.A. Enry.
"Hi," I addressed the young business lady who's finally made it to me, and whose neck is craned so that she's looking up to me from ground level. "First time here?"
"Hi," she says, continuing to scan the menu. Can you recommend something?"
"We have a lucky customer special," I begin. "It's for customer number 48. "That's an absolute lie. We haven't had more than 20 patrons all day." "I think you're it."
"Really?"
She smiles the smile I was hoping to provoke when I formulated the lie. Why this face before me isn't on the big screen, I have no idea. The way she has utterly taken the light from the air, absorbed it, and wrapped it around her is pure talent. "Well, we'll have to see. You'll have to place the right order." I turn around to see Cedro's expression.
he's well aware that there is no real daily customer giveaway. The combination of rancor and confusion all tangled on his face and meeting at the center emphasizes this point. The center is never a good place for facial features to meet. Happy expressions expand outward on the face and stretch to the ends. Displeasure always crashes in on the center, like missile lock on a jet when it's about to blast an enemy plane out of the sky.
Dead,
I urge through clenched teeth and wave my head quickly a few times.
Look!
Cedro, assembling the orders on the food line, pauses to take a quick peek over my shoulder.
Oh, okay, I see.
He approves of the pretty girl and then turns back around and tears apart some pork.
Don't even think about comping her out.
You really think I would do that? Cedro turns back around and looks down at my pants, then back up to my eyes.
I really don't know what you'll do. I've never seen you in action with the ladies.
Again, he scans me up and down. Naturally, I check down my leg to see what he sees.
What are you looking at? To see if you got a pair. And if so, how big that pair is.